October is my favorite time of year. Not just because it's my birthday month, but because I love how it cools down, the leaves start changing colors, and the hustle and bustle of life seems to slow down just a little bit. Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. It's good to see you back for another episode. Today we're going to be sharing scary stories from the month of October. These stories, as always, are sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone in the swamp, and stories like yours help keep this show going. Now, without further ado, sit back, relax, and get ready for some creepy stories that'll freak you out tonight. This is a true story that happened to me in October of 2013 in Brighton, Michigan. Ironically, this happened the night before Halloween, Devil's Eve. I was 13 at the time and in middle school. It was late in the evening, about 9 p.m. It was just about completely dark, but it was a full moon that night, so you could still see a bit. I live on a dirt road that sits right on a golf course, in which the country club and course were closed that night. Never in my life before have I ever experienced something quite this supernatural, and it still gives me chills just to think about it. My sister, myself, and my grandma were all home while my parents were out for the evening. I was sitting watching TV in my living room when all of a sudden my dog began growling in a very evil way. It was a growl I've never heard her make before, so it drew my attention. She was staring out the window sitting in the living room. When I walked up to the window to look outside at what she could possibly be growling at, I saw it immediately. In the dirt road, there were three neon green illuminated balls about the size of softballs. They were hovering midair and moving slightly up and down. At first, I figured it was the neighbors going for a walk and they had glow balls of some kind. But as I looked harder, I couldn't see any bodies around these illuminated balls. At this point, my concern grew even more. After watching them hover in midair for about probably 5 minutes or so, they moved forward up the road a bit more, but they were still directly in front of my house. All of a sudden, as I'm watching these green glowing balls, all three of them hovered to line up in a perfect line. Then, out of nowhere, one of the balls shoots up into the sky in a perfect 75-degree angle. After the first one shot up in the sky, the second one did, and then the third one did. The way these balls shot up into the sky was exactly as if they were in a completely straight vacuum tube. They didn't wobble or anything. It was like they were sucked into the sky, and they shot up very fast. I was completely blown away, and didn't even know what to think. It wasn't possible that this was caused naturally by any means, because the light from the moon lit up everything enough that I'd be able to see people outside. But there was not a human in sight. All of my neighbors were inside for the night, and as I said, the country club was closed. No cars, nothing there. I immediately ran to grab my sister and told her everything that just happened. We went to turn off every light in the house, so that whatever this thing was outside couldn't see us inside watching it. We began watching for about 10 or 15 minutes when out of nowhere the three balls came flying out of the sky all at once. After they landed, the three glowing balls began hovering about 10 or 13 feet in the air. They were directly out on the fairway of the golf course at this point, and the fairway had been lit up completely by the moonlight, and when I saw these things hovering that high up in the air and not one person around out there, my stomach sank to the floor. As they were hovering around still, my sister and I were watching very intently. They began moving closer to our house in the road, but never entered our property, and once again they formed a straight line together, and one by one shot up into the sky. And after that, we never saw them again. My sister and I did some research to find lots of remarkably similar encounters, and we very much believe that it was definitely a UFO or alien-related sighting. Green glowing balls don't just come flying out of nowhere and then shoot up into the sky on a perfect angle. To this day, we are still unsure of what we saw, but we most likely know the true meaning of why we saw it was something extraterrestrial in nature. Thank you for reading, I truly enjoy your videos, and I hope somebody in the comments could possibly give us a little more insight as to what we saw that night. This story takes place in October 2019. My friends and I were attending a young adult college Bible study at my church. The Bible study began late in the evening, and by the time we would be leaving, the other activities going on that night were over for a while, leaving us alone in the church. That night, instead of our typical study, we decided to have a movie night. Because of this, I had bought multiple 2 liters of sodas and snacks. Everyone enjoyed the movie, and we began cleaning up to leave. While cleaning, one girl left. We took the rest of the food down to the kitchen's refrigerator for a Bible study later in the week. After that, we began walking out. As I opened the door, I heard a rustling to my left and a man's voice say, "Hey, have a lighter?" I jumped back startled since it was dark, and I was unable to see him. "Oh, no, I don't." Then I quickly began to give the other girls a quick look, urging them to get to their cars quietly and quickly. As we began pulling out of the parking lot, I just had a bad feeling. Driving home, I began calling everyone to discuss what was happening, also informing the staff at the church. The next day, I received a call telling me to be on the lookout because I might be getting a call from the police. Come to find out, the guy had broken into the church's offices drinking all the soda, breaking multiple doors and desks looking for money. He was never caught. I know this is not the most terrifying of stories, but it just bothers me that someone would, you know, ever feel that it was okay to break into a church. Hi Swamp, I have an encounter I was a bit unsure whether to tell, because I don't want people calling me crazy. My encounter was back in 2009, and has 2 parts, one in the summer, and one in the early autumn. I am very clued up with the outdoors, and live in a very rural community. I fish, camp, shoot, trap, and stay out at my lodge in the woods all the time, when not at work. However, I am more careful and skittish about doing so since 2009, because of what I and my friend had happened to us. We were fishing for catfish over a 48-hour period in the late summer of 2009. We booked out a lake in a forested area. I will not give away the location due to certain reasons. This lake was only 6-odd acres, but is surrounded by a well-known forest with no roads or houses for at least 4 miles or so. We set up our tents on either side of the lake to get a better chance of being quiet, and we're not worried about being so far apart, you know? There was no one else on this lake at all. It was just surrounded by forest, with a little dirt track leading back out about 1,000 yards to another track. It just started to turn to sunset, and I was laying on my bed in the tent when my friend comes running around to my side of the lake. He was shaking like a leaf and really unsettled, saying just in the woodline, 100 yards or so from the back of his tent, he sees what he first thought was a man watching him. Then, he said it had like a fox head, with pointy ears and glowing eyes. He was really freaking out on me, and I just thought, okay, maybe he saw something that he can't explain. You know, maybe he's just tripping, I don't know. When I got around to his side, there was nothing. All there were broken trees and branches. He showed me where it was, and its head, and when we actually got to the spot, It had to have been about 7 foot tall or so. I again was ignoring his story, because he was getting so frantic. He reeled in all his rods and grabs his sleeping bag and comes over to my tent. He left all his stuff Rod's tent and slept in my tent till morning. This worried me, but, you know, it had cost us a fortune to fish here, so I wasn't going away very easily. The next day he packed up and left, so I did too, with a bit of doubt. I was a bit upset I could not finish the trip, to be honest. He explained on the way home that he saw a 7-foot-odd fox thing standing there watching him, and he was really scared. I told everyone when we came home because, you know, obviously this is a big man, and when you see a big man being scared of something that shouldn't exist, you know, there's gotta be something there, right? Fast forward to October of the same year, 2009. The same location. I booked time off work to go back and fish that lake again with another friend, as I know he would come. In fact, I knew I couldn't afford the venue alone, so I needed a second man. I got down to the spot early around 9 a.m. and set up for the 48-hour stay. My friend was meeting me after work, so I had all the morning to myself up there. A peaceful time. I even caught a few carp. Around 2 p.m., I opened a beer and sat in my tent looking across the lake at the woods where my friend had seen that fox man, still giggling to myself a little bit. Well, by 3:30 p.m. I had another beer, and a text came from my friend, saying that he could not make it, as a family member was in the hospital. I tried to call to check in, but my signal was hit or miss, so it never connected. I thought nothing more of it, and knew he would call me later in the week. It was about 4 to 5 p.m., and I was the only person out there, with nothing to do as the fish stopped at those two carp. So I started cutting up the cans of spam I had, and pellets, throwing it around my bait, trying to see if I could catch anything. I left the remainder of my halibut pellets and spam around the back of my tent under a small tarp. I went into the tent and settled in around 8 or 9 p.m. after no other fish were biting. I was awoken roughly at 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning by a loud thumping noise running around from the other side of the lake from the forest. It sounded like a small horse galloping around to my side of the lake. I laid there frozen stiff as it approached my tent, slowing itself down to a stop a little bit away. It was breathing deep inhales and loud exhales with gobbling grunting noises. It must have weighed more than a man as I heard it going around my tent in circles, changing direction from time to time. It then inhaled deep and sounded like it went on two legs and pressed its face against the left side of my tent ceiling. It was dark, but the impression it gave was pointed like a German shepherd. It then dropped down with a loud thud. It started to eat all my spam and trout pellets. The sound of it eating was like a starved dog slapping its lips and grunting. I just laid there stiff and not moving. Once it finished, it took a massive inhale sniff of the wall of my tent and exhaled with a low, deep growl. I could have gotten up and bolted out, but my body would not move. As quickly as it came, it went running back off around the lake, smashing through the branches and sounding like a racehorse. I literally laid there till morning with my knife in my hands. Thank God I had my tent door closed. I got up just as it got light and pretty much backed my van up, threw all my stuff in it, and just left. Now, I still go out in the woods, but mainly to my lodge I built on my 25-acre woods. That's a good 10 miles away from that location, and if I stay up at the lodge, I always take my gun. I can honestly say, every detail I told you today is true. I've had real trouble thinking whether or not to share it, but thank you for giving me a platform to do so. I work in a vet office in the United States. For privacy, that is all the info I can give. Last time anything was said about this, we had quote-unquote ghost hunters and other oddballs stopping by to investigate during office hours. It is extremely inappropriate. At the time of writing this, I have almost hit my 1-year mark. Oddly enough, October, season of Ghosts and Ghouls. Anyway, when I had my first interview, I was asked, "Do ghosts bother you?" Now, I did not know what kind of question that was. It wasn't something I was familiar with in an interview setting. But, okay, I do believe in spirits, creatures, and the like. I answered yes, and was then informed that the original owner of the practice had died in the clinic, and that on occasion, his spirit can be seen walking the halls. I honestly did not think much of it. I was used to stuff like that. My brother had died several years prior, and due to this, I had seen him multiple times, I believe. We believe that he had been haunting our house ever since, to, you know, make a long story short. So paranormal experiences are not new to me. I had been working there for about a month before I had my first encounter. I stepped into the vet's office to inform them that their appointment was here and ready to be seen. Usually I would receive a response of, "Okay," or "Be out in a sec." All I heard was typing. The typing of a keyboard. I assumed the doctor was just very busy typing and didn't really notice me. So I stepped in. I looked around the shelves to find the doctor's chair was empty. The sound of the keys typing stopped. I knew for a fact that I had heard it, though. I looked around the room, but there was nothing. I informed the doctor about the incident, but they just laughed and said, "Oh, that's just the old doc. He must be learning to type." I shrugged it off and continued my shift and went home. That was the only real, strange experience I had up until about a month ago. We have two buildings that are connected. The clinic and the house the old doctor and his family lived in. In the house, we have our breaks, staff meetings, and a place to put our pets, in case we need to bring them into work for one reason or another. Downstairs in the basement is where our lockers are, along with the washing machine, dryer, and spare cages and whatnot. One day, approximately 3 or so, I stepped downstairs to my locker to grab my key so I could get some lunch at the local deli down the street. As I was digging through my locker, I had this strange feeling that I needed to turn around. I did, and for a split second, I could have sworn I saw a head peek back from the door and quickly pull back. I thought I saw long brown hair, but I could have been wrong. None of my coworkers have long brown hair, so I know it was not one of them. I wondered if maybe the shadows in the room were just playing tricks on me, or maybe I just imagined it. I did not think too much about it and went to lunch, quickly forgetting the experience. Fast forward 2 days and I am closing. The shift flies by and I am back in the basement retrieving my things to go home, when that feeling returns. Something telling me that I need to turn around, and fast. I turn my head and in the far corner of the room I see what appears to be someone sitting on the floor. It looked like a female based on the physique, long brown hair covering a face. One knee up while the other is down straight out, wearing scrubs, but they were not the same ones we wear. They were dark gray, we wear light green. I just stood there silently. I could not move, I could not speak, I did not know what to do. I gained the ability to take one step back and I bumped my locker door, which then closes with a loud smack. The sound scared me even further. I noticed her head turn ever so slightly, and her hair parted just enough to see a single eye looking at me. But it was not a normal look. Her eye appeared to glow, just a little bit, almost reminding you of Pennywise from the newer It series. But I knew evil demon alien clowns did not exist. But now, I would not even doubt it. I hear footsteps coming down from upstairs, and it's our kennel manager who flips on the light and asks, "Why are the lights off?" I quickly looked at her, but then back at the corner. Nothing. No woman, no shadow, nothing. What the heck? I stormed over the building and went straight to my boss. I told the doc all about my encounter, but all she could do was laugh. I told her what I saw, and she was very quick to say, "You met the doc's wife. She died in the house also." I told her about the feeling I had, the feeling that I needed to leave, that I was not meant to be there. The doc's face quickly changed to concern. "That's not a feeling anybody here has ever had. That's very odd. I've not seen her since, but I still have that feeling when I'm down there. I know this might be the scariest or longest story, but I figured I'd tell you and see what the other listeners, you know, have to say about it. My family has lived out here in rural Nebraska since they immigrated here from Bohemia, located in the modern-day Czech Republic, in the middle of the 19th century. Apparently, they were part of some weird obscure Christian sect, one that was heavily persecuted in their native Bohemia, so they took a ship to Ellis Island and lived in New York City until they were basically chased out of there too, hence why they ended up settling in rural Nebraska. They started a farm out here, worked the land, and became relatively wealthy for the time, whilst keeping themselves to themselves. So according to a family story, which my grandpa insists is 100% true, it was the middle of October when my great-great-grandma comes down with some horrible disease. The family did everything they could to keep her comfortable, riding their horses for miles and miles to fetch her medicine, which brought her back from the brink of death a few times. But eventually, right when they thought she might be okay, her condition deteriorated rapidly, and she died one night, just after midnight. Now this would have been a sad occasion under any circumstances, but the date of her passing was of relevance to my family. You see, she died just after midnight on the 31st of October, on Halloween. As I said, my family were members of a particularly strange set of Eastern European Christians, ones that, like many, believed that Halloween was a time when the spirits of the dead were particularly active. Only, they believed that if a person died on Halloween, that it was possible for these long-dead spirits to enter the corpse of the person recently deceased, to take over their body and resurrect it in one form or another to perform acts of evil. To prevent this, they had to perform a series of rituals very quickly before burying the dead person as soon as possible to prevent the evil spirits from taking hold of the person's body. So according to Grandpa's story, they washed my great-great-grandma's body with ointment, burned sage to shoo away the spirits, then buried her in the family cemetery located on a secluded patch of their farmland. Now, apparently, my great-great-grandma had these two big dogs that absolutely adored her. Naturally, they were completely devastated when she passed on and stayed by her body for the longest time. When she was buried, they refused to leave her gravesite, and no matter how much meat or animal bones they were offered by the family, they refused to come inside the old farmhouse. They thought this would just happen for a day or two until they realized the permanence of the loss, or just got too cold or hungry, and decided to return indoors. But night after night they slept by the grave, only eating or drinking water if it was brought over to them, and even then they seemed to do so reluctantly. Then about a week and a half after she was buried, well into the month of November, they began to bark and scratch up at the earth at the top of the grave. They would howl all night long, and the attempts at digging got so bad that eventually, a long-dead uncle of mine had to go out there and drag each one of the dogs inside in order to keep them from straight-up digging up the grave. But even then, when they were locked up inside the house, the dogs would bark and howl in the direction of the cemetery, which obviously caused the family a huge amount of distress. The grief was so bad that, even without the weird behavior of the dogs, it was pretty heavy on our chest. But as much as they tried to quiet the animals, the dogs would just not cease their barking or howling. Apparently, it was driving the family half insane by the time they tried to do anything about it. They had even discussed killing the dogs just so they would get them to finally be quiet so they can get some real sleep at night. But before they took any drastic action, they decided to check out the grave in order to make sure nothing was amiss with the burial. It was thought that maybe rats might have burrowed their way into the grave, chewed through the wood of the coffin, and were gnawing on my great-great-grandma's rotting flesh, which obviously the dogs would have been able to hear or at least smell, given their more powerful senses of perception. But after hours of work, digging through the frozen soil, they reached my great-great-grandma's casket and found that there was no damage to the wood, It was all perfectly intact. But still, the dogs kept on barking. They ran out to the gravesite and began barking into the open grave. So the family decided to properly exhume her to make sure nothing was amiss. What they found was absolutely horrifying. Instead of the peaceful look on my great-grandma's face, the one she was buried with, she had wide, dead, terrified arms. Her jaw was wide open in what appeared to be a death scream. Huge chunks of her hair had been torn from her scalp, presumably by her own hands, lying in patches of steel gray around her rotting head. Not only that, but her fingers were bloody and mangled, the fingernails lying around the wooden box where they had been torn off by incessant scratching on the coffin lid, which itself bore the damage from her efforts. The sight drove her still-living husband to madness. He ran screaming from the gravesite and was never the same again. When he realized exactly what had happened that Halloween night, he hanged himself from a rafter in the barn. And he did so because he realized, despite the lack of medical knowledge possessed by my family, that my great-great-grandma had not been quite dead when they buried her that night. In fact, she had merely slipped into a comatose state, one which was mistaken for death by the family that was so lacking in inaccurate medical knowledge. And so, when she was unconscious and presumed dead, they had taken her out to the cemetery that day and buried her alive. The dogs were barking and howling, not because they could hear rats, but because they could hear my great-grandma's screams for help. They could hear her ripping her own nails out and clawing at the wood. It drove them absolutely manic. That is why they barked and howled all night, because they knew their beloved owner was suffering so much. I'm not so sure how true the whole story is, but I also can't think of a reason why such a tale might even exist in our family. Surely a person might want to hide something like that from the world forever. But maybe it's retold so often, as a way to never forget so it'll never happen again. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true stories from the month of October. As always, these stories were sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a story from October or any other month, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that keeps this show going on a daily basis. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it, and that helps me out. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. You can download and bring your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories with you anywhere you go. You can do that on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. The best part of it all is it's absolutely free. If you want to support the Swamp outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out our merch store. I have shirts, face masks, mugs, hoodies, and pretty much everything else you could want. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this on a daily basis without you all. We have recently surpassed 190,000 swamp-dwelling creatures. That's amazing, and I never thought we'd get this far. We are now on the home stretch to 200,000. Let's see if we can't make that happen. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.